not working. We are not a works-based church. We do not earn merit or anything to get into heaven. Nobody in this room, me included, me especially, will not get into heaven because of what I've done, other than putting my trust and faith in Jesus Christ and receiving the grace of the finished work of Calvary, filled with the Holy Spirit, unto good works. You good? Does everybody understand that? That's where you're going to church. If you need to get your letter and go somewhere else, we'll pray for you. But we love you. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'll fight with that. I'll fight for that for the rest of my life. That's what I believe. When somebody tells me, when somebody stands in front of me and says, man, Kevin, we're climbing this ladder and you're getting better and better. You're going to be a better Christian. You're going to be, and there's something that we're not, that's not us. In myself, I don't deserve heaven. You've heard me say this, and you'll hear me say this a million times. We get to heaven, I'm going to take my little grubby finger, if I can get it over there. I know it's going to be the new glorified body. I know that, but if I can muster up the strength, because when we hit heaven, we'll be flat down in the prone position for a good while. Do you think worship here? We can't even handle worship. We're going to be on our face before God, and I'll try to get my finger. Somebody say, Kevin, man, I can't believe it. How'd you get here? I'm going to look at Jesus, and I'm going to point, and I'm going to go, it was him. And what they sung, what he sung, what he said, because the scar, he's the only one in heaven that has scar. Nobody else could say, look what I did. Everything was done in him. All right, let's go back it up with Scripture. Gary, you bring your Bible tonight. I hope you did. Good. I'm just kidding. I like to. All right, let's get into work. John 14. John 14, verse 15. And I'm just going to read 15 just for fun. And 16 is where the meat starts. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's a problem in our church, in our country, in our community, in our world, around the world. We don't try to keep God's commandments anymore. The Holy Spirit leads you to keep God's commandments. We don't teach them anymore. We don't reverence anymore. We don't go to Mount Sinai. We don't go there to get the commandments to understand what grace did for us. I'll preach that some other time. All right, I don't want to confuse you. Verse 16, because it confuses me right here. And I will pray. Listen to this. Are y'all staying with me? John 14, 16. Erase it. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Did y'all see that? Amen? And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. In you. Right? God's in you. So Jesus left because he can only be with one group of people at a time. I got to go where you can receive the Godhead, where I can get in everybody. That way, while we're worshiping up here on Flat Top, somebody in Alaska can be worshiping, somebody in China can be worshiping, somebody in Alaska can be worshiping. Jesus, same God, same Holy Spirit in them. That's why he left. He just wasn't because he wanted to go. It's because if I don't go, you don't receive. Amen? I want to show y'all this. It's so amazing. God was giving me this, and he started connecting this thing. We're redeemed as children to God. See, because sometimes we have a hard time understanding that God is our heavenly Father. Amen? We have an understanding. We say it, but we don't hook up with the fact that we are his children. Amen? Hey, Gary, will you do me a favor? Read that verse right there. I think it's right there. Read verse 16 for me real quick, will you? Yes, please. John 14, verse 16. Listen to how his reads right here. All right, another helper right there. Let me go a little bit further. I'm thinking I'm missing that right there. Because that comforter in another spot, or comfort, it'll be your father, or you will be adopted. Amen? I'll see that in a minute. Let me go a little bit further. It ties in, because what I want to show you is that comfort. All the time I thought the comfort was meaning, you know, like, oh, I'm comforted in the Spirit. I don't have to worry about this and that. That is true. But like, what would be the biggest fear you ever had is, and when you were a baby child or a small child or an infant child, if you didn't have a mother and father, all right? And it always, in the King James or in the Bible, it always goes like this. Your father is your protection. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? For the house. The husband protects the home. He is the protector. Amen. Provider, protector. He's the defense. Amen. All right. So to take that away, it would take away your comfort. Amen. You would automatically go, I don't have any comfort. Amen. So I want you to understand that there's an adoption right there. That's fatherhood. God started dropping this on me today, and he wanted me to see. He said, look, you got to understand, I'm adopting you. The comfort that you have will be a comfort that I am your father, that I am adopting you under the family of God, and you don't have to worry, okay? Goodness gracious. Let me go a little further in this. Even the Spirit of truth, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you. Here it is. Sorry, Gary, look at 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Please read 18. Whew. That was full panic right there, if you didn't notice. What did it say? I will leave you. I will not leave you as orphans. You understand? See where I'm misconnected, but I want you to get that right there. I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you comfortless. I'm being honest. I had the great opportunity of this, but I'm telling you, one of the most devastating places on the face of the earth is when a child is brought into an orphanage. Amen. It doesn't. There's nothing. No connection, no love, no faith. You get love, but you don't know anything. You're scared out of your mind. And God, what he was saying is, I'm not going to leave you. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you and leave you like an orphan. I'm going to give you something that you will know that you are my child. Man, I don't know if that gets to you or not, but this is just so good, and it's going to get richer as this message gets on, but I just wanted you to get that understanding, and that word, and it translates in Hebrew into Greek, is in a, you know, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. Man, I love to hear that. And listen, I had a great father, great mother, but man, I'm glad to know that God adopted me. Amen? That he didn't leave me spiritually as an orphan. Okay, let's go a little bit further, because I'm not really wanting to drive that point here as much. I'm kind of trying to show you something in this part of the Bible that kind of helps you understand how good God is. Okay, watch this right here. Verse 19, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At the day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Okay, whew. Can I ask y'all a question, just from me to you? Do y'all have a clue when he said this? Was this after Calvary or pre-Calvary? Was this before he went and hung on the cross or after? Everybody's kind of shaking their head. It was pre him going to the cross? Was it pre him resurrection? All right? The reason I'm telling you this is, can God lie? So are you telling me that he's talking to 12 people, 11, the 11 original apostles that loved him, even though he was telling this is not performance-based? Let it sink in slowly. I'll just talk like me and you. Let it sink in slowly. He was telling them this prior to him going to Calvary. Before he went to Calvary, every one of his apostles ran like scattered sheep. Every one of them failed him on every level. But in chapter 14, while he's teaching them, he said, I hope you get this. I am going to spiritually adopt you. God, can we just, man, I wish some of y'all could unbuckle and just let this thing ride on, just ride in your brain. He loved you when he knew you were jacked up. Everything is all in the mix to God, to you. Y'all don't get that. All the ingredients of who you are is in the mix. God is not looking at something and going, God, but here in 3 days, they're all, right? On Tuesday, January 2021, he's going to say that. She's going to do this. Golly, y'all are so spiritual. Has there anybody in here done anything wrong since 2021 started? And okay, good. So that was in the mix. And God seen it. And God said, I'm going to adopt you. See, that's the difference between adoption and having a birth child. Adoption, you know it. At least you know the pre-stuff. You know where they came from. You know a little bit of their history. You know what caused them to need adoption. God's bigger than that. God's better than that. God don't know your pre-stuff. He knows your pre, your present, and your future stuff. Have you ever thought you've messed up so bad that God can't help you anymore, even as a Christian? Guess what? He knew it was in there. I don't know if anybody else needs that kind of stuff, but I do. I do. Even if it's, and some of y'all are sitting there going, whoa, what kind of crazy stuff? Even if it's just doubting Him. Even if it's just not doing what I'm supposed to be doing for Him. Amen? Even if it's just me waste. Have you ever wasted a day? Have you ever asked God to do crazy good stuff in your life and He's done it and then you've just thrown a day away? Just in the garbage day. Right? And then when you went to God, you said, man, why God, why ain't you showing me this? Why ain't you showing me that? That guy, that girl, she knows so much. She's so spiritual. He's so spiritual. He goes, well, you had a day that I could have just poured out heaven on you, but you just... And He knew it. I'm not trying to wear you out because I'm the world's one. And He knew it. Man, I wish some of y'all would. If you get the time, you just want to feel froggy about it, go read John chapter 21. Amen? I love John chapter 21. I love what Peter says. He's such a leader. He's such a powerful leader that, and God knew he was going to be a leader. He gets so frustrated. He don't know what to do with... Watch this right here. He don't know what to do with crucified Jesus. He don't know what to do with resurrected Jesus. And he don't even know what else to do next. You ever been there? God, I have been. You know what he did? I'm going fishing. I go fishing. You know what? Every one of the apostles said, sounds good to me. I mean, the tax collectors, the zelotes, I mean, all of them. Some of them didn't even know half of them didn't even know what fishing was. I'll go. Have you ever went fishing when you didn't know what fishing is? I've done that too many times. And everybody that knows what they're doing is upset with the people who don't know what they're doing, and nobody's catching anything. But what I love about that story more than all the other stuff involved is, guess what? Ed, if just... let this wash over you. Everybody in the doggone boat, everybody couldn't go, I did it good. I did it right. So here's what the title of that is. We're all in the same boat. Man, if that don't make you want to cry or shout one, because sometimes when we come to church, we won't go, I'm pretty good. Look at what I did. And another over here, I'm just so worse. We're all in the same boat. We failed God on every level. But that same Jesus, resurrected Jesus, I love you, Jesus. I'm still going to give you the Holy Spirit, Jesus. I'm still going to give it to you on Pentecost. You failed. You went fishing. The boat that you retired and gave up on, and I'm going to follow you. You're back out there in it. And he stands on the shoreline the next morning and asks you the coolest question that's ever been asked by any Savior in the world. You want to start it off for me? Can you remember how it goes? It'll blow your mind if you answered it right. First word out of his mouth. Does anybody want to take a stab? Say it real loud. You got it right. Children. Hey, boys. Just like a dad talking to his sons. Dad talking to his daughters. Children, have any meat? Caught anything? Whew. What would you have said? That's not God. Loving you when you're unlovable. Whew. Man, that's good, ain't it? Take your Bibles, go to Galatians chapter 4. Now God's going to help me tie this in, I hope. And that's for all the people who say, well, we're working, we're doing, we're grinding, we've got to be better. Yes, all that. Well, you got to be Spirit-led, amen? More than anything else, you got to have the Spirit in you. Watch this right here. Y'all ready? God dropped on something on me today that I've never seen before in my whole time studying the Bible, and I can't wait to share it with you. I don't know if I'm going to share it right or not, but it's my first try running down the track with it. So you're guinea pigs, and so am I tonight. So what's this? Galatians chapter 4. I hear pages turning. Hurry and get there. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say, y'all seeing that? Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Did y'all see that? But his under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman and made under the law. Let's stop right there. Go back up. Verse 3, even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. Okay, guess what? Back in that time, in that era, when a child was first come up, when a Jewish child was coming up, he would not differ in any way, shape, or form than the slaves. Worked with slaves, slept with the slaves, ate with the slaves, done everything with the slaves. He was not, and it was up to the father to eventually say, okay, it's time for you to be a child. When you're hearing this for the first time, it should give you a ring into Luke chapter 15 that you've never heard before. Is the prodigal son. Okay? The two boys, remember? They were living practically like slaves. They got sick and tired of it. Amen? Oh, y'all just think about that for a while. One didn't, one another. Okay, so they're living as slaves. And then when the father says, you know what? It's time for you to stop living like slaves under the rudimentary laws, elementary, school-like, very immature, rules. So when you run into somebody who's still under the law or trying to put you under rudimentary laws or rules of Christianity outside of being children of God, living under the Spirit by faith in Christ Jesus, by His grace, then all of a sudden it starts to get real tedious and real childlike and real simple and real immature. I don't like the way you're wearing your hair. You can't wear your hair that way and go to church here. I don't like your clothes. You can't wear that here because that's not what we believe in. That's just this and that. And that. Yeah. Now listen, all that stuff comes from the Spirit of God. Amen? You got to listen to it too now. But are you hearing me? All right. So the Spirit of God, listen, when you're children, you're not going to come until the Father says, okay, it's time. So guess what? The Father said, it's time for them to stop living like slaves to the law. I'm going to change that. I'm going to send my son Jesus. Are you all right? Man, and then God showed me something that I'd never seen before. This comes out of the last chapter of Deuteronomy. Do you know what happened in the last chapter of Deuteronomy? Moses dies. Do y'all know who Moses is? Moses is the first pastor. If you want to know how pastors feel and look and live, read that. Sorry. I threw that in on extra. All right, check this out. Moses, do y'all know how Moses died? Does anybody remember how he died? I'll tell you how he died. He went to Yahshua, the same name who Jesus is, right? He went and he blessed Yahshua. He went to him and said, I can no longer go any further. I'm going to hand it over to you. So I'm going to give it to you, which represents grace, which represents Jesus, which represents the cross, which represents a new way. All right? So he went to him and blessed him. And guess what? Then he went up on a mountain. Because guess what? He represented the law. Moses, when you hear Moses, he represented the law. Moses went up to a mountain and God kissed him goodbye. He done away with him. Not meanly, not roughly. He just let him drift away. Amen? But you know what he did? It says it. Go back and read this in Deuteronomy, last chapter. It says this. He died. My God, this is so good. I don't want to get out of camera view. I'm about to run a lap. Hold on. He said he died of full vision, strong vision, and full of strength. God, if y'all don't get to shouting sometime in your life. The law looked over into the promised land, couldn't get anybody there. Full of vision, full of strength, but done away with because there was one named Yahshua, Jesus, who would carry you into the promised land because he didn't. He died on a mountain just like when Jesus done away with the law on Calvary. The law, what's this right here, Rebecca? The law could see that you've broken it. And it's strong to condemn. But Jesus. Man, yeah, that's good, man. I got that today, and I'm sitting there going, man, I had never seen that. I just know that he died, and when you think he died, he was taking care of himself, and God was taking care of him, and he just let him drift off in the physical body, just let him die. Man, that's all cool and everything. But once you start looking at it the way through the law and through the Spirit and with the grace, you start looking at it, you go, man, God, you know what God did? God just said, that's enough. My children can't pass over from this place to all the wilderness and pass over into the promised land through you. They have to come through Jesus. So you have to depart. And you know what? They couldn't find where they buried Moses. Even the angels and the devils disputed where Moses was. See, somewhere in the valley. We can't find him. God, I wish, man, I know. God, when we get to heaven, we broke every doggone law there is. But they won't be able to find it. Sorry, we can't find the law for him. He's covered by grace in Jesus Christ. It was never done. It was done away with. Amen? Whew. It was powerful and it could see it, but it couldn't touch you. Man, I don't know. That's enough for me. I just get silly right there. That's just amazing. It's just powerful stuff. That's God showing you all the way through the Scriptures. He was always planning to give grace and mercy. To always trying to show you that the law was a schoolmaster. To show you needed Jesus. And that way you would accept Jesus. Let's go look. Y'all ready? Man, I'm excited. That's good, wasn't it? Man, if y'all ain't, man, this Wednesday night stuff, it's the best. Let's go a little bit deeper. Watch this, or a little bit further. What's this right here? To redeem, verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. See it? Adoption of sons. Now watch this. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart. See it? See what I told you? All right, so guess what? God says you're a son, so He gave you that same Spirit, His Spirit, and He put it in your heart, okay? So listen what I'm saying. This ties in all the way through. The moment you receive the Holy Spirit, now this is what leads you into good works. This is what draws you away from sin. This is what makes you repentant of sin. The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. That's what you're looking for. That's what you should be going, do I have that? Because if you don't have that going off in you, if there's not a war going on the inside of you, then you need to check up. Amen? And let me get away. That's Bible. That's preacher talk. I'd say, shut up, Kevin. That's preacher talk. If you're not being dealt with by the Spirit of God on the inside of you, you need to come and ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life and let Him save you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because the spirit man wars against the flesh man. And there's no magic. You'll just know it. I can still sin. I can still be disobedient. But there's a spirit man in there who just he punishes, he corrects, he speaks. There's several different levels to it. Can I tell you the worst one? Can I tell you the worst one? I could probably go and do like a little spiel about different kinds of. Sometimes God gives me the silent treatment. That's the worst one. That's probably the worst one in real life, too. You know, as long as they're fighting and fussing and carrying on back and forth, that's good. When it goes silent, you don't know what's going to happen next, whether they're going to kill you or never talk to you again. Amen, preacher. Okay, you understand? But see, God's got, if that ain't going on in you, you need to check. You need to go to God and say, why am I not having a warfare? And when I keep pointing here, I'm sorry. I mean right here. But that man you talk to, that woman you talk to, 90% of the time, that's who I'm talking about. Amen? When God got on the inside, I tell you this all the time. I'll tell you this till I'm done preaching here. It's a still small voice, but He might as well be shouting through a megaphone. You know what I'm saying? Because my spirit man's loud as all get out. But my spirit man, my physical man's loud as all get out. My spiritual man, I mean, as soon as I step past what God wants me to do, He just, you need to go back and do this, or you need to do that, or you didn't do this. He might as well be yelling at me. You know what I'm saying? But you got that going on. All right, so I'm going to get past I want y'all to understand that we're all spirit. That's where the key to all this salvation stuff is in the spiritual man. Amen? That's where it's at. Watch this right here, though. Let's go back. I wanted y'all to hear this. So, as God was telling me this in the Spirit today, and because you are the sons of God, has sent forth the Spirit of His sons in your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Whew. The second that God, that Holy Spirit is in there and you know Christ, all of a sudden, God changes who He is. He doesn't, you do. He changes who, I should have said it this way. He changes who He is to you. Y'all, listen, before that, God was the big scorekeeper to me. Okay? The big guy with the big pencil, right? I'll give you one that I always thought. I thought that God kind of worked on a scale system. You ever thought that way? If I go to church, read my Bible, pray, or do something good for God, then somehow the godly scale would tip my way. That's not a good father. if I went home and I had stolen, lied, cheated, whatever it was, and I came home and cleaned my room, mowed the yard, and done all kinds, if he knew right then we'd be in trouble, and was respectful and nice and sitting in my room quietly, respecting all the rules and orders, right? Hello, Father. Good to see you. I am your son. Is there anything I can do for you? Right? And then all of a sudden when the reports came in, Kevin has stole, Kevin has thrown, Kevin has broken, Kevin has lied, Kevin has cheated. Here's Kevin's report card. Right? Okay. You know what a good father does? He walks right past the mowed lawn, the clean room, the quiet child, and proceeds to spank the child, unmerciful, until he understands it's not okay. Does that make sense? Okay, listen. That's who I thought. God, I thought, man, I can manipulate him. I can make him this. I can go and I can do. And he's and just pacifying God. That's not God. The moment the Spirit was birthed in me, I cried out. This is what it really sounds like in English. Daddy. Daddy. And let me explain who that is. When you're scared, lonely, hurt, mad, upset, don't know what to do, you're 40, you're 50, you're 60, you're 70 years old, you're 80 years old, and you're scared out of your mind, you can crawl up in God's lap and say, Daddy, I need you. I've messed up, I've failed, I've fallen short, I've not done what I was supposed to do, but I still call you Daddy. And He still calls you son. He still calls you daughter. Ain't that amazing? And God wanted me to close it like this. Adoptions are probably some of the most amazing things on the face of the planet. I told you about that earlier in the sermon. When you look at somebody else and you say, I know your past, I know where you came from, and I still want you. Where when you have a natural child, you don't get no, you just got what you got. Then it's up to you to raise them. That is awesome. It takes special people to adopt. It does. It takes people who are willing to give up their life, freedom, and liberty to love on a child. Some of the most amazing stuff. The first one doesn't really make adoption. The second one doesn't make adoption. The third one, somebody comes to you and investigates your life, turns it upside down, asks you all kinds of questions. They say stuff like this. Do you know that you can write off a natural child, but you can never write off an adopted child? They inherit everything that you got. You can't ever write them off. Really? All right, so you want to get that. And they tell you all this information. They tell you, well, you know, this is what you're going to have to do. This is what you're going to go through, no matter what. And they kind of pull and that. What does the husband think? What does the mother think? And you have to go through this long process and all this paperwork. And it's one thing after another. And some go through, some fall through. Some, you know what? The agency doesn't make the adoption. Doesn't. You know what makes the adoption? Is when the child sees those people as the parent. Completely. They're no longer looking for somebody else to fulfill the need of mother and father, because they have found their parents. And they say, Daddy and Mama. Amen? God, that's salvation. God made a way for you to be adopted. He went through the process. He was investigated. His life was turned upside down. He was ruined for you. He paid a heavy price for you. He went through the system that it took for you to be adopted. But it takes for you to go, I want you to be my dad. I want you to be my spiritual dad for eternity. The Spirit of God has to say from your heart, Abba, Father. Thank you for giving me your Spirit, adopting me into your family. I want to tell you two things about God. His Spirit ain't cheap. Amen? So if He put His Spirit in you, you are worth a lot to Him. Stop listening to the devil and get busy serving God. Number two, nobody can out-parent God. He's a good, good father. So when you see one of His kids and you think, I just don't think they're going to, what you're saying is, I just don't think their father's good enough. Let me tell you this, and I'll be honest with you, and I'll end right here. God's a good daddy. He'll take care of you. Good or bad. I tell people what all the time when they get saved is, I got Jesus, I got saved. So you got a good, good daddy, and He'll bless your socks off. But if you ever get out of the way, He'll flatten you straight down and let you know which way to go. Let's all stand.